Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Frustrated with feminism. That's what I entitled the broadcast for today. Fox News host Andrea Tantaros joins me in just a couple minutes to talk about her new book. It's entitled Tied Up in Knots, How Getting What We Wanted Made Women Miserable. One of the blurbs for the book out on the website says this. It says, 50 years after Betty Friedan unveiled the feminine mystique, relations between men and women in America have never been more dysfunctional. If women are more liberated than ever before, why aren't they happier? In this shocking, funny, and bluntly honest tour of today's gender discontents, Andrea Tantaros, one of Fox News' most popular and outspoken stars, exposes how the rightful feminist pursuit of equality went too far and how the unintended pitfalls of that power trade have made women and men miserable. Well, joining us now is the author of that book, Andrea Tantaros. Andrea, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you for having me, Pastor. It's my pleasure.
Andrea, why did you decide to write this book? Was this something that you yourself experienced in a subjective way, or is it just something that you observed in the culture? I know you like to look at what culture is doing and observe it very carefully. Was it both of those two things, or one or the other?
Yeah, it was a combination of both of those things. You know, my generation was the first sort of beneficiaries of feminism, and I tip my hat to them. I mean, I've reaped a lot of the fruits, and so have a lot of women because of that rightful push for equality.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you look around, you notice that there have been a lot of unintended consequences, and nobody wants to talk about them.
Mm.
And it's in the culture. And the culture, I think, is where really the war is fought. I mean, between, you know, not the right and the left, but, you know, the push and pull between conserving traditional values and a culture that has coarsened and become increasingly more progressive and more secular. And because it's become more increasingly progressive and secular and I would say sexualized,
mm-hmm.
People seem less happy. So when I went to the bookstore to try and find something about this book, I couldn't find anything, so I had to write the book, and it was a lot of personal experience as well. You know, that when feminists pushed for that equality, they made a lot of mistakes. The movement wasn't, even though it was well-intentioned, it wasn't exactly the end result what I think a lot of women want. And so nowadays, you have all of this frustration, almost like Betty Friedan wrote about the problem that women couldn't name, meaning they were in their kitchens and they didn't have all these opportunities like their husbands and they wanted to be liberated. Now I think women have been liberated, but they've made so many mistakes, the feminists, along the way, that women are liberated, but the happiness index has nosedived.
Hmm.
So in the book, I look at why, and I weave in a lot of my own personal experience.
Mm-hmm. I remember it wasn't that long ago that there was a rather blunt assessment made by, I think it was Susan Faludi, who said the women's movement wasn't about happiness. Well, that was quite a candid remark to make. I mean, I think a lot of women assumed that this was designed to make them more happy, and yet you're saying mm-hmm. in the book, if you take it to its to the nth degree, if you bought into it all and even imported maybe into feminism some of the things that weren't even intended in the beginning, you would end up pretty frustrated at the end and certainly unhappy. Would that be a correct assessment?
Yeah, absolutely, Pastor. So some of the mistakes that feminists made along the way were, and the feminist movement was, you know, I sort of see it broken down into two camps. The first camp was Gloria Steinem, Betty Friedan, and others that were, I guess you could say, the man-haters,
mm-hmm.
The ones that wanted to tear down the patriarchy, that viewed men as the enemy, tear down the patriarchy, and it wasn't really about being equal, it was about being better. And they wanted to push for not just equality, but women to be over men at the expense of men. So they fed my generation and generations that came after me this propaganda that we didn't need men and that we could do everything ourselves. And that's where you have this whole movement of, you know, don't get the door for me, I don't need you to pay the check, this something to prove attitude where women have pushed away their natural biological wiring, which is to be with a man, right, as God intended in a partnership,
yes.
but instead to be alone. And then there was the other part of that, which was the trading the strength and the power that is uniquely feminine, trading that for what men have. Mm. It was this covetous quest that feminists put women on to, and I call this the power trade in the first chapter. You know, being female has such unique power.
Yes.
We are the, you know, we civilize men. Civilizations rise and fall on women. We are the ones that procreate. We have so many gifts that God have given us, and feminists discounted those. I mean, they actually, one feminist, early feminist, said that women's ability to have kids was actually a hindrance rather than a blessing from God. So they told us to act like men, you know, behave like men, date like men, party like men. And so now you have this culture, and you see it in movies today, like with comedian Amy Schumer in Trainwreck, where women are getting blackout drunk, they're looking at Miley Cyrus, they're doing drugs, they're sleeping around, they're bed hopping, they're bar hopping, they're pursuing the power that men had, when that's not authentic to who women are. Most women are not that. So anytime you have someone acting contrary to how they really are inauthentically, they're going to be tied up in knots, and they're not going to be happy. You're only really happy if you can truly be yourself. So I looked around, and I thought, why are so many women frustrated? And again, it's not just that they're acting contrary to their biological wiring. They're doing this all on their own, and they're doing double the amount of work than before. So whereas in the 1950s and 60s, gender roles were clearly defined, now women are working and having these careers. They feel the pressure to do it, but they also have their responsibilities in the home. And so they feel this pressure because husbands aren't dropping out of the workforce now that women are rising up. It's just more parents are both working, and it's leading to a lot of things that people don't want to talk about. Failed marriages, the Ashley Madison cheating website was, you know, predominantly men. And when polled, the men said, you know, I cheated not because, you know, I was really attracted to these other women, because I wasn't getting the attention at home. My wife is too busy. So you have all of these, again, consequences, the rise of pornography, all of these things that happened because the feminist movement encouraged women to adopt all of these traits. Another big one, Helen Gurley Brown, who is the editor-in-chief of Cosmo magazine, she encouraged women, like Steinem, not to get married. But instead of tear down the patriarchy, she said that women should use their sexuality to navigate it. Okay, both of these women, I just want to point out, are hypocrites. Both of these women got married. In fact, Helen Gurley Brown relied on her husband for everything. I mean, she really did consult him on every decision she made. She wasn't being authentic with women about what her relationship really was behind the scenes. So in many ways, Pastor, women have been brainwashed. They have been sold really like a fraudulent message on how to be. And my generation, they've postponed marriage. They've postponed children. They're realizing that they can't have kids. By the time they sort of wake up and say, oh, my gosh, I want marriage and kids. What do I have to do? I have to, you know, freeze my eggs and go through in vitro. Nobody told me about any of this, and I see a cultural crisis immediately, and that's why I wrote this book.
Boy, that's very interesting. You did a very good job, I think, in the assessment of what we see taking place in the culture. It seems to me that women have become more masculine and men have become more feminized. And we tend to talk about it in terms of complementarian approach versus an egalitarian approach, where we acknowledge, as you talked about, the basic principles of feminism about equal rights and so forth, but we acknowledge that there are differences between men and women, and if you try to either ignore those differences or to force them upon the opposite sex, it makes a mess. And this is exactly what we see in our society today, as you were just articulating.
Yeah, and I see, and I'm not to be critical of conservatives who have written books that criticize feminists, but I think that there are plenty of books out there that tear down feminists and take a different approach than I took. Those books already exist. My book is different, and I did it in a way coming from a conservative, coming from someone who wanted to weave Christian wisdom throughout the book. Yeah. But I think sometimes if you're really going to change the culture, you have to get out to a broader audience than just the right. Mm-hmm. So what I tried to do with this book was I noticed in the culture there are non-traditional messengers espousing traditional messages. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Sheryl Sandberg, she's a prominent Democrat, the COO of Facebook. She wrote the very popular book, Lean In. Mm-hmm. A lot of women, I mean, it was a cultural bestseller, like a cult sensation. The media, of course, glazed over the most important thing she said women needed to get right in their lives if they wanted to lean in their careers, and that was pick the right husband. Hmm. Great advice. Excellent advice. Hmm. Of course, the media ignores it. Hmm. I didn't. I read it. I wrote it down, and I thought, well, this is interesting. Hmm. Lady Gaga, not exactly a conservative, not known for being, you know, this sort of, you know, messenger of traditional values. Hmm. However, she said, I'm a strong woman when I'm on stage, and I call the shots. But when I come home, it is my fiancé. He's the man. He leads, and I'm the woman. Mm-hmm. And, Pastor, more and more, I started to notice that these non-traditional messengers were calling for a return to tradition, to traditional gender roles. Beyoncé is another one. We don't agree on anything politically, but Beyoncé waited to get married. She waited to have her child. And every chance she gets, she talks about how, quote, I wouldn't be the woman that I am today if I didn't get to come home to that man, my husband, Jay-Z, every night. That's what she told Oprah. Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, that interview was buried. I mean, I had to dig it up when I saw it, and I thought, wait a minute. She's not just living her life in a traditional way by waiting to get married and have a child, which is so novel to feminists. I mean, they think that you should just have a child out of wedlock and everything's going to be amazing. Beyoncé's living her life in a traditional way, so we should point that out not just for African-American women as as an example, but for all women. And it runs counter to feminist doctrine, which is why the media wants you to ignore it. It's pro-family. It's wives sort of honor your husbands, fit into their plans. It talks about the, you know, the complementary system that you just mentioned between husband and wife. And I thought, you know what? Don't trust me on this. Don't trust Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Don't trust the conservative women that are often discounted by pop culture and by mainstream America. Look at these women who are calling for a return to tradition. Let's look at their words and what they're saying. And if they're saying the same thing that I'm saying, why are men opting out of marriage and kids? Why aren't men stepping up to be romantic and traditional with women? I mean, these are coming from Lena Dunham's co-star on Girls, Dosha Mamet. You know, she said, where's all the traditional, you know, gender roles? Why isn't this man paying for my oatmeal, you know, after we have a date the next morning? I mean, when she's saying the same thing that I'm saying, I knew I was on to something, Pastor. I knew I had to tap into this on behalf of young girls everywhere and men, too, who have been wussified and demeaned in society. The dad is always the doofus, you know, that he's always lost or the idiot, and the wife always has the answers in sitcoms today. Men are checking out of society because they have been dismissed and devalued. And men are very valuable, and fathers particularly are critical in the lives of their children, and especially young girls. And for feminists to purport somehow that that's not the case has done such damage to women and to the culture that I felt that I couldn't wait any longer to write this book and speak out.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you did. I think that you've really got your finger on the pulse of a real problem that's taking place. You cite those examples of some of those messengers like Beyonce and so forth. I would say that nobody's hearing, like you were saying, that article was buried, that interview was buried. Nobody's hearing that message when they listen to the music. They're getting a completely different message in that, and that's the message that is being heard loud and clear rather than the message of, wait a second here, all of this cultural change that has been pushed, political agendas and so forth, it has had a real damaging effect upon women, as you're talking about here, but upon men as well. There's a number of surveys that have been taken that back this up as well, that are just revealing to us loud and clear that women are not happy with everything that feminism said that they would do. And we really need to sit up and take notice of that.
Mm-hmm. Women have espoused the responsibility and the opportunities and the power that men used to have now. And so Freakonomics explains it as that. You know, men used to have all the power and they were less happy. Now it's women and they are less happy and men are, in fact, happier. But when you look at both genders, men are confused. They don't know if they should open the door, if they should be romantic, if they should step up. And again, Steve Harvey, not a big Republican, not a huge conservative, but he's out there every day saying there's traditional gender roles for a reason. Ladies, stop telling us you don't need us. We are wired to protect, to hunt, to provide. You have to let us because that's what makes us feel, you know, fulfilled. And men that I interviewed said the same thing. They also gave a lot of blunt and honest truths, which is, you know, look, ladies, you've taken monogamy off the table because feminists have told you to go out there and, you know, bed hop, and they try to convince women that it's somehow empowering. Well, Pastor, I mean, I know hundreds of women, you know, and not one of them has chosen that route. And then when the guy doesn't call her the next day or they see him with another woman, I don't know any woman that feels empowered. It's just not reality.
Yeah, I feel
so
used.
When you talk to these men and they say, you know, with the rise of dating apps, these women are just sending, you know, naked pictures of themselves because they see celebrities do it. There's this mainstreaming of porn with the Kardashians and others that are just putting out pictures that, frankly, when I grew up, would have been considered triple X.
Yes.
You would have had to go to an adult boutique to get them. Now they're just all over our phones.
Mm-hmm.
Men are just being very candid in this book, and they've told me, look, if a girl's going to do that, men aren't going to want to commit to her. We're not going to want to commit and settle down and make this woman our wives. Mm-hmm. We're just not. So somebody needs to tell girls that, girls who didn't, like me, have the best big brother in the world, who gave me some pretty real talk growing up about how the male brain works. And my own personal story is weaved in as well. You know, I was one of these women that thought I could do it all on my own. And I don't know what I had to prove, really, but until I actually sort of relented and went and listened to my gut and my heart, which was, I want to be feminine, I want to be a girl, and I want a partner that respects me, that I respect in return, which is the true definition of feminism, like equality, equal in our relationship, is when I really became not just happy, but I was able to untie all my knots. And he's wonderful, and he's amazing in every sense of the word. And if I could just get women to be more authentic and listen to their hearts and not settle and tune out the noise of pop culture, tune out the noise of feminists, every woman and man can make the switch today. That's why I love this topic. Everybody is in control of their own lives and their own relationships. And it took, in my opinion, a conservative to make the case of the things that are worth conserving, like intimacy, discretion, monogamy, loyalty, kindness. When you're kind to your husband, it doesn't mean subserviency.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you are somehow, you know, bowing down to your husband. You're just being kind. Wouldn't you want your husband to make you a sandwich or bring you a glass of wine when you've had a rough day? But when Glamour had a column about 10 ways to please your man, it was considered subservient and dominant and misogynistic. So women aren't being kind to their men, and they're being, if they try and be, they're being told that they're being 1950s housewives. So I wanted to empower women to stop listening to everything else and they can change. They can change their lives in 2 seconds, and they can unbind and untie all of those knots. It's not easy, but if you recognize that it's happening and you see the messages in the culture and you see the hypocrisy of the feminists and you see that men have true value in society, and the more you give them, the more you'll get in return, every woman can make the change.
I think if they understand the issue quite as well as you do, I think that would help them to go a long way, because it is going to be difficult. They are going to take a lot of flack and a lot of things being said and so forth, and have to understand the issue clearly to be able to wade through all of that. Just two final questions, Andrea. One, for me, one of the areas where I started seeing the real hypocrisy in feminism was in the deafening silence about what takes place in Islam. I couldn't believe that they weren't standing up and leading the charge as to the way women are treated in Islam. And then the final question will be, I wanted to ask you about how is this all playing out in the 2016 presidential campaign? Seems to me that you really hit this right at the right time, because to me, these themes are coming up during that campaign as well. Your comments on those two?
Yeah, Pastor, those are such great questions, so thank you for asking. The point about Islam is so poignant. You see a deafening silence from women's organizations, the National Organization for Women, and others, shockingly, at the treatment of women by not just radical Islam, but Islam, modern-day Islam, Sharia law. Women have no rights. They can't drive a car. If they're raped, they have to have not one, not two, but three witnesses. We all know, you know, how grueling and gruesome it can be, and not just radical Islam. We're not talking about ISIS. We're just talking about the treatment of women in countries like Saudi Arabia and elsewhere.
Yes.
And this administration, and I would argue past administrations, have been pretty quiet on it. But the issue for me is refugees, is Muslim refugees. And it's not because I'm intolerant or xenophobic. I'm actually the first generation American of a Greek immigrant father who speaks a number of languages, has lived abroad. I mean, I'm as multicultural as they come, but I'm also someone who used to live in Paris and was attacked twice by Islamic refugees in Paris. And 15 years ago, I saw the, you know, the powder keg that Paris had become, that Europe had become, that Brussels had become, and we're seeing that today. When you look at the assaults and the rapes in Germany and in England and in Sweden that have taken place because of open borders and political correctness, letting in these Muslim refugees who don't share the values of Western society, who don't believe in equal rights, it boggles the mind, and it really is infuriating that all of these Muslim refugees that want to come to the United States, the men, and over 75% of them are military-age men, they do not believe in equal rights. So all of the battles that women fought for me, for every woman listening, for our daughters, for our, you know, nieces, children, they're all for naught. I mean, if we're importing people who don't share our values, who actually have a hostile approach to women, shouldn't women's rights groups be speaking out about this?
Yes.
But no, they have more fury for Republicans. There's a war on women by Republicans instead of a war on women by, you know, the Islamic faith, which is just maddening. And unfortunately, we're going to have to learn the hard way. I hate to say it, but we're going to have to learn the hard way if we continue down this path.
I think you're right.
On the 2016 election, I think that you're seeing not just this cultural, you know, men are feeling, you know, emasculated and wussified, but in the 2016 election, they've also been economically discarded. So both parties on the right and the left in the establishment have sent their jobs to China. They have had illegal immigrants take their jobs here at home. The Davos men and all the fancy lads with their country club memberships, you know, they did backroom deals that have sent the American male, the working American male, into a really economically depressed state. And they're finding their voice in candidates like Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, who are actually echoing their concerns for once. I know that Sanders isn't going to get the nomination, and I envision these men that have really en masse followed Donald Trump moving over to the Trump camp. And Trump now is not just giving them a voice, but he is fighting on their behalf, and he's taking the offensive to Hillary Clinton he's not just, as I joke, playing the man card mm-hmm. by standing up for them. He is, you know, going on offense about her claims that he's a misogynist and challenging her that she's playing the woman card.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the perfect example of someone who's been a hypocrite, frankly, of convincing women that staying at home and baking cookies and having teas is not worthwhile, when we know that it is, mm-hmm. the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. But Hillary Clinton also has spoken out of both sides of her mouth. You know, she's a strong, independent woman who doesn't need her husband. And last week she said she needed her husband on the campaign trail to help her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you see women, young women, they do not identify with Hillary Clinton because of feminism. They say, a man that's going to publicly humiliate me, a man that's an abuser of young women in his Oval Office, is not someone you needed to stand by. And I think this election, Pastor, is shaping up to be one big gender war, because
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a battle of the sexes, and it's not going to be about, you know, Obamacare or foreign policy. The Democrats have foregone defending the American worker. In exchange, they want to be cultural. They want to talk about birth control, abortion, transgender bathrooms. And so you have this culture war, but it's shaping up to be a war between the sexes,
mm-hmm.
Hillary's women, Trump's men, and how the fault lines are drawn, and can Trump pull some of those women over to his side to defeat her? I actually think he can,
mm-hmm.
if he does a couple key things. But it's going to be fascinating to watch. But it's really incredible about how my book seeded the ground for what's shaping up to be, you know, this battle between the sexes, Mars versus Venus.
I think you're absolutely right that the timing of the book is certainly appropriate, and it certainly addresses those issues that I think we're going to see in living color for the rest of the campaign.
Yeah.
Andrea, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for writing about this important issue. I really hope that it does help women to just sit back and look at what has been sold to them, and then to look at what are the real ends of this this philosophy that's been put forth, and is it really where they want to mm-hmm. go? Is it oversold to them? And then really look mm-hmm. at this carefully, and men as well. And I think you've done a great mm-hmm. job of articulating that today on the program, and I'm sure you do in your book as well. So thank you very much for being with us. I'm going to give the website for the book here again and the information, but thanks for taking time out to talk about these important issues.
Oh, my pleasure. Tied Up in Knots was fun to write, and just thank you for the time today and supporting the book.
Okay, great. That was Andrea Tantaros. The book is called Tied Up in Knots, How Getting What We Wanted Made Women Miserable. As you can hear from the interview here with Andrea, she goes into great depth. She has good insight into what's actually happening here in our culture, and I think, does a really good job in the book of laying this out. Again, the book is called Tied Up in Knots, How Getting What We Wanted Made Women Miserable. You can get it at wherever books are sold. I'm looking at it right here on Amazon right now, so you can buy it out there on Amazon. I don't think you'll be disappointed with the depth that she goes into on this particular subject.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.